On today's episode of Locked On Pirates, we're going to talk about Jose Quintana's trade value as trade season is in full swing, as you saw this past weekend with Daniel Vogelbach and Michael Perez both heading to the New York Mets. We're also going to talk about why it's okay to trade these one-year vets for prospects that can help in the future, like Colin Holderman, who has team control through 2028, and just where the team is in terms of how we feel they could be contending and when they will be contending in terms of the moves that they're making and the progress that we're seeing from specific players. My name is Ethan Smith. We'll be joined by Gary Morgan, as we are every single Monday here on Monday, July 25th. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. More on them later. Also brought to you by Bet Online. But thank you for making me your first listen of the day every single day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And with that said, let's get into today's episode.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everyone, and welcome back to that Pirates podcast, that losing in extra innings to the Marlins every time you play them podcast. My name is Ethan Smith. That is Gary Morgan to my right, as always, every single Monday morning. And it was a fun little series the Pirates had. I think top 10 moment of the year, O'Neill Cruz hitting a home run off of Sandy Alcantara will probably be up there, especially just the way he did it. But that is not what we're here to talk about today. No Marlins Pirates talk, no recapping a series that I honestly don't want to recap because it just made me mad. But we did have some other things happen in the airwaves this weekend. Daniel Vogelbach gets traded to the Mets for Colin Holderman. Michael Perez gets traded a day later for cash considerations, which to, again, me and Gary can now rejoice. Michael Perez is no longer on the team. And a lot of people, I think, got that move confused with why are the Mets doing this? He's not good. He can catch a baseball. That's what they need right now. He can sit behind the backstop and catch a baseball. But there's another big candidate that is probably going to get traded here, I'd say any day now. Knowing the luck of this podcast, it'll probably be after we record, because I recorded an episode on Friday in the afternoon saying, oh, is Vogie going to the Mets? And then an hour later, he gets traded to the Mets. So Jose Quintana gave us a great start on Saturday, I would think you would say, Gary. It was definitely a resume builder. Just what do you think his trade value is, though? Because I think it's pretty damn clear that he's going to get traded. It's just where and for what, I think, is what the question is at this point.
He's a really hard one to pin down. I mean, He's coming off a few really, really down seasons. He hasn't really been the Jose Quintana that you remember in a long time. This year, he's looked about as close to it as you could possibly imagine he would. I also just think Major League Baseball teams aren't that stupid. His innings count is up there. I'm not saying they care about his arm, per se, for a rental, but let's just say they have to be a little concerned that it's not going to make it long enough to push them through to the end of the season. I don't know. I don't know what you get for him. I mean, I keep landing on, like, double-A pitcher type guy, but I don't think you're going to get a lot of major league help for him.
No.
So I don't know. I wish I had a more clear picture of this. There is a certain threshold for me that I think is too little to worry about. So I would say anything below a double A prospect that you kind of believe can be here in the next year or so is probably a little too little to bother with for me.
Yeah, and that's where I agreed with the Vogelbach trade as well, is a lot of people were saying, wait, we just traded Daniel Vogelbach, who's been pretty good at the DH spot, for a relief pitcher, not realizing that. Let's go over the notes that I got from this trade. Holderman has team control through 2027, I believe. I think he's a free agent in 2028. The Mets were absolutely annoyed that they had to get rid of him, according to SNY Sports Network. Apparently, they did not want to get rid of him. And Daniel Vogelbach was on a – again, I know he was – he could have signed for 1.5 next year and all that other stuff. But what were the chances that you got the same Daniel Vogelbach that you traded now next year when you would have traded him anyway? So you're just basically, to me, when I was looking at that, same thing with Quintana, is if you're going to trade the guy, trade him at his highest value. For a lot of people, a lot of you listening to this podcast, remember when I first came into the network and Josh Bell got traded to Washington for basically a bag of cookies, it felt like at the time? It's because they didn't trade him when they were supposed to at the All-Star break, and he had a terrible second half, and his trade value went just flew down. The Pirates are doing what they're supposed to do, and I think that's what Quintana is going to do too here. Now, in the Pirates' own right, because I know you like to bring up both sides of the coin of keeping these guys and trading them, you brought up Quintana's pitch count, and is it concerning in terms of the fact that even some of these Pirates pitchers might not make it the whole season that you would consider keeping him to still eat innings for the other guys to be able to make it through the season?
I mean, if you listen to Ben Charrington, yeah. I mean, like, that's why they sent Holderman down to AAA right away, because they're that worried about losing arms right now that they don't want to make a rash decision before the deadline here. There's so many moving parts that can come up. You trade Quintana, you've got to replace him on the roster. You have to replace him with a starter. You can't replace him with a reliever, right? So, I mean, like, you've got things to think about there. If you trade a reliever, well, then you've basically either used an option for somebody you don't want to use, or you've cut somebody you don't want to lose. You know, there's a lot of ins and outs to that. And you never know who people are going to come for. I bet they didn't think that that the Yankees were going to pursue Clay Holmes last year.
No.
You know, so you never really know who's going to come up on that list and who's not. So you understand them wanting to hold on to pitching. Yes, it's a concern, especially with the way this team manages itself. And I say that because they're more aggressive than baseball. In general, they're worse than the average baseball team as far as the way they handle pitching and the way they baby these arms. So, yeah, I would imagine concern is real. To me, if the return's not good enough, you don't do it. Nope. Like, it's just no purpose in it. And I'm not one of these guys that feels like you have to go out and re-sign a 33-year-old for 2 years or... You know, I think you can do better than Jose Quintana, if you want to be blunt about it. This fan base, just rightly so, doesn't trust them to upgrade over Quintana. So they think, let's keep Quintana, right? But that's not your top of the mountain. That's not the hill you want to die on. You want a better pitcher than that. Hold the standard higher than that. And if they fail you, they fail you.
Yeah, and I agree. And if you had to sit there and tell me like a comparison to who Jose Quintana is in recent Pirates history, reminds me a lot of a left-handed Francisco Liriano. He's just good. Like, statistically, Jose Quintana is just good. I don't think anybody's going to really fight me on that right now. But again, as you said, on a good contending team, Jose Quintana on this team so far has been easily their best, most consistent pitcher this year. Now, a lot of pitchers are starting to say something different about that on this roster lately. But when Quintana gets traded, if he does, which is highly likely, he's the fifth guy in a rotation.
If he's not bullpen.
If that, yeah. If he's not a long relief bullpen guy.
There's just – you get skewed. You get trapped when you're watching the Pirates, and you start to kind of conflate things a little bit. First of all, I mean, you're not the first person I've heard say Quintana's the best pitcher they have in the rotation. Bro, it ain't even close right now. He's not. He's not. He started out that way. People hold on to, like, April and May, and they're like, oh, they remember him being the anchor of this rotation. Mm-hmm. His last 10 starts and I guess you have to now add in his Miami start. His last 10 starts are pretty underwhelming. Like, it's not all peaches and cream, okay? This is not Cy Young. It's just a decent pitcher. The Pirates have screwed themselves by having, and they just addressed it in the draft a little bit this year, by having zero left-handed options. So every year, you're looking to get a new left-handed pitcher to be in that rotation. Every year. It's exhausting. Sign one for 2 years so that we don't have this conversation again next year at the deadline. I don't care. Just find somebody and make it happen.
And that's the topic of the town right now with Quintana is do you trade him? And like you said, it can't be an underwhelming deal. So say they don't get anything they like. Do you just re-sign him for another year? I would, personally.
I'm not so sure I would. I wouldn't be mad if they did. But, like, I think they can do better, personally. And I think they should want to do better. I think he's a $2 million pitcher who pitched way above that pay grade. He's probably going to get paid somewhere in the $5 to $6 million range, I would imagine, for another year or two. He's 33. Like, there's a reason that everyone panics when players get, like, 32, 33. It's because, they should be starting to get a little long in the tooth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what changed here? I mean, you're watching a player who's actually doing well right now, but it's the first time he's done well in, like, 4 years. Come on. I mean, like, take advantage of the win that you got. You signed a guy. If you can get something decent, get it. If you can't, keep him. This is not brain surgery.
No, it's not, and I'm happy that they made that decision last year with Tyler Anderson because, again, I don't think anybody thought Tyler Anderson was going to turn into the guy he currently is in L.A., but even that return was not terrible. But more on this, right before I let you guys know about Blue Nile, of course, at BlueNile.com, you can celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating the custom engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft your perfect engagement ring, and each ring is one of a kind. Are you looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing? Well, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and going on now is a Blue Nile anniversary sale. Save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. So shop stress-free and find your forever piece and go to BlueNile.com today. Also, last week wrapped up the NFL Top 50 betting line moving players. On this Pittsburgh podcast, I'm not going to mention a specific video game because I will not be buying it this year because I am not giving that company my money anymore for producing the same crap. Anyways, I love to throw in my own like life stuff, and I think it's great that a guy who just tied the sack record is rated lower than another guy. But as Gary, I think, tweeted out, it's a video game. Who cares? Honestly, speaking of video games, before we get into the rest of this, MLB The Show, another skewed video game in terms of franchise. You will not believe this, Gary, but in 2026, I had Juan Soto, Eloy Jimenez, Rafael Devers, Key Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, and Miguel Sano and Henry Davis in a lineup and lost in the NLDS. So Pirates fans.
So the game is really realistic, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I just so happened to have three guys who tied each other in batting average for the batting title. So Pirates fans, we're in a great spot. But anyways, more on this talk about veterans getting traded and stuff like that, and all that other jazz about you never know who's going to get traded. You actually brought that up, and it reminded me of a lot of last year's trade deadline when Austin Davis got traded for Michael Chavis. And Michael Chavis has turned out to be half decent. I'm not going to say he's been, like, ridiculously good, but he's been serviceable. But I really like that you bring up the standard that this team needs to put itself on. Because it's very funny to me that a team not even about a half mile away from you literally says the standard is the standard. It's this team right behind me, if you were wondering.
Yeah, they have a little bit of a helping hand in upkeeping that standard, though.
Yes, I think they that's do.
Something that people tend to forget. The Pirates, in general, I think, have done a lot of good things as far as building the system. It will bear fruit. I do believe that next year, 500 is in the picture. I do believe that 2024 contention is in the picture. But I also believe that they can screw it up pretty easily.
They've showed it before.
Well, here's what I mean. Like, okay, we know right now we've got two more years of Brian Reynolds. If they don't get Brian Reynolds locked up, the whole thing gets set back another year. Maybe two. And I think that it's time for them to grow up and start making some actual baseball decisions now. The evaluation stuff is cute. I think the people that were going to be patient have been patient. It's time now to start allowing the team to actually progress. They brought up all these young kids, and then they pulled the rug out from under everybody and replaced them all with these veterans that absolutely stink. There's no reason that this team should look worse right now than it did in June. That makes no sense whatsoever. No. On any level, if you're developing a team or you're blowing up a team, there's a difference. If you're blowing up a team, you expect it to look worse. If you're building a team, you expect it to slowly climb. I certainly don't expect it to take two steps forward and then four steps back. So
yeah.
I think that just optic-wise, they've screwed this season up.
Oh, they have, because at one point in the year, I remember this, Gary, and it wasn't too long ago when these veterans were injured and the young guys were all playing, that we were talking about at the Pirates, I believe it was before the Tigers and Braves series, they were like 4 or 5 games out of a wild card spot that early in the year, over exceeding. We were talking about the young guys playing up, and maybe like at this point we would have still kind of been in that area.
Right.
But I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's literally no reason for me at this point that I need to see Josh Van Meter and Yoshi Tsutsugo play. I just don't.
Keep in mind, man, I'm not talking about, like, they should be going out and trying to trade for Soto. I'm not talking about, like, they need to be going out and signing Carlos Correa. I'm talking about, like, you brought up a bunch of young kids, and we could deal with the growing pains of those rookies. Mm-hmm. And we were enjoying the enthusiasm, the energy, and the skill that they brought to the game. We didn't expect it to lead to a whole lot more wins, but it led to more fun. It led to a better product. It led to the team actually feeling like they could score every inning. I don't know how anybody brings back this glut of crap replacing all those rookies and expects the fan base to just be okay with it. You're not going to get anything in a trade for Jake Mariznick. You're not going to get anything in a trade of meaningful value for a ton of these guys. Yoshi is getting nothing. Josh Van Meter, with all his control, is getting nothing. The cash is, we're talking $75,000 most of the time. When you see those trades for cash considerations, it's $75,000, $100,000. It's not, we're not talking about like anything that's padding Nutting's wallet. That's why it's not even about Nutting. This is what the GM wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that concerns me because I want to trust the guy. but I'm watching just over my head stupid decisions going on. Like, there's no reason to watch Yoshi hit anymore. I'm sorry. And yes, I realize he had two pretty nice hits this week. But they're singles. And again, that's not what the hell he's here for.
No. And this is where I will go on my tangent about it too, is I don't understand why the Pirates were so willing to move on from a guy who, again, it was one game. Hit three home runs in one game. They just cash considerations by. So willing to move on from that guy who has been here longer than Yoshi Tsutsugo. Considerably, if I may add. He's been here considerably longer. And I know you mentioned to me at the beginning of the year, there was 4 million reasons why Yoshi Tsutsugo would not be off this team. At this point, though, and I've said it recently on my podcast, on my solo shows, $4 million ain't anything to any baseball team. $4 million ain't nothing to the Athletics. It ain't nothing to Baltimore. And it sure as hell ain't nothing to Pittsburgh.
Especially when you talk about the prorated version of it, which is where we are, and it's sitting at about 1.45.
Yeah. So, what are they... I just want to know, and this is what I wish GMs and coaches and stuff would come out and do, is we just watched Ben Cherington last week have yet again a draft where a lot of the people who know way more about the draft than me said the Pirates had a very good draft again. They had one last year. So you watch the guy make good decisions a lot, in my opinion. I think he makes a decent amount of good decisions. But at some point, as a general manager in baseball, keeping a guy like this or guys like this outweighs all those good decisions you were making 3 months ago. Why is Jack Sawinski not on this team? I get it. The dude was struggling, but still. Why is Travis Swaggerty on this team for like a week and then sent back down? And you alluded to that too about Jiwon Bae and Swaggerty. If you're not going to use the guys, just freaking trade them. Go get some MLB-ready talent now if you're not going to use the guys. Like, well, don't let them rot away.
It should be reality right now that you're not going to use all these guys. You can't use all these guys. There's just not room to use all these guys. So there's going to have to make some decisions like that. I guess I get frustrated with things as a cumulative thing. Like, you mentioned Jack Sawinski. I can understand Jack Sawinski. He hit some home runs. He started finding a power stroke. He kind of fell in love with it to a degree. He went 0-for-29 with like 20 strikeouts. They simply didn't like what they were seeing. They have him in the lab working on trying to drum up a little bit more contact. I think what they're doing with Jack Sawinski is I think this kid could be borderline special or he can just be good. So let's take a swing at making him borderline special, right? Yeah. Let's try to teach him how to be better than what he is right now. Absolutely fine with that. I have no trouble whatsoever with that kind of thinking. But I don't need to see Josh Van Meter in order to make that happen. I don't need to see Jake Mariznick in order to make that happen. I've got other options. I've got Travis Swaggerty sitting down there. I've got Jared Oliva if you really just want to burn a young kid. We got Blind Madras sitting down there. I don't need to see Josh Van Meter playing first base or Yoshi because I've got Blind Madras sitting down there. I've got Ben Gamel who you've already told me can play first base. You don't need to carry this crap when it's crap.
Yeah, you don't. And we'll wrap up this conversation here after we talk about Bet Online. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. Find all of your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sporting wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They all have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. And BetOnline is where the game starts. So, again, I think even within all of this right now, though, as you alluded to earlier, I do think it's painfully clear that this team is going to be in a good spot next year if they don't mess it up. That's it. That's a big if. I know. But if everything continues on the track it's supposed to, next year we're likely seeing Leover Piguero here. If Nick Gonzalez can stay healthy, I would assume we're seeing him next year. Michael Burrows will probably be here next year. Henry Davis near the back end of the year will probably be here next year. There's a lot more guys coming, and this is what Gary and I have alluded to with the system as of late, is the layers to it. Like right now, you're in the Contreras, O'Neill, Cruz, Sawinski, Cal Mitchell, that whole group layer, and then the layers just keep going. The Tamar Johnson pick, great pick. You're not seeing the guy for 5 years, but he's going to be a part of that hopeful layering system that's going to make this team consistently good. Is it the Rays model? No. I don't know what the Rays do. They do their own thing. That's their own little thing they do down there in Tampa Bay. But when you're a team like the Pirates, who does not have all the cash in the world to spend, and you want to be consistently good, you stack the system the way you have, and you layer it. And do you think that they're doing it in a way that's going to, whenever they do potentially get to 2024 and contend, do you think they're doing it in a way where they can do it consistently?
It's, I mean, on paper, sure.
Yeah. It's really easy, too early to tell still.
Yeah, the next wave, to me, like you mentioned, with all the big names there, and you start to get some of the Ben Charrington draft picks coming up and some of his acquisitions on the younger end. I mean, yeah, that's the wedge that's supposed to drive this window open. What's behind it? I mean, it's hard to tell when they've held so many of them in the FCL waiting to even put them in Bradenton. You know, we just saw Lonnie White Jr. make his debut. We just saw Bubba Chandler a few weeks ago make his debut. These are guys that were picked all the way at this time of the year last year. That's not very quick onboarding. And, you know, it kind of makes me wonder exactly what they're doing or where they're going. But I certainly can't judge whether they were great picks or not until I see them play. I certainly am not going to sit here and build up a whole list of who's going to come when and what years based on nothing. I haven't seen anything. I don't even know what Bubba Chandler's going to do. Is he going to play shortstop? Is he going to DH? Is he going to pitch? We don't know. You don't know when they're going to drop one of those skill sets or if they're going to let him do them all the whole way through. What's Andy Rodriguez going to do? Is he going to be a catcher? Is he going to be a first baseman? Is he going to be a second baseman? Center fielder? He could do any of those things. He really could and does them all well. And he can hit. But some reason, he's still sitting in Greensboro. Why? I mean, should he still be sitting in Greensboro when Davis has been injured most of the year in AA? It's not as though he'd be taking at-bats from him. But get him up there. Like, there's certain aspects of what I see that I love. There's certain aspects of what I see that I just don't understand. I just don't understand.
Yeah, and that's the game you play as a rebuilding team. Is some of this stuff looks great. Like O'Neill Cruz homering off of Alcantara yesterday. Great. You love that. But the reason I love baseball so much and the reason that I think you guys listen to this podcast every day is because baseball is like the only sport in all sports, if you really want to put it that way, that just has such depth to it. Like, we're talking about guys in the FCL, and that's four leagues below Major League Baseball. And another thing we're going to talk about on tomorrow's episode, because I know the news is coming today about the international draft. Really hope that happens. I think that is a must for baseball. And my boy, Shaylin Polanco, has also been doing some things over there for himself as well. But Gary, what you got going on this week as we wrap up today's episode, which was basically just us ranting about a rebuild for 30 minutes?
You kind of need to do that every once in a while, especially after a bad series, man. And I think that it's therapy for everybody, yep. Fans and us included. So it's good to do. What do I have going on? 5 Thoughts of 5 today on Inside the Bucks Basement. Check that out. That's always a good conversation starter. Quick two-game series against the Cubs here. Yes, I still think the Cubs stink. And yes, I think the Cubs are going to stink worse after the deadline. So I still feel the Pirates are in a good spot to finish third in their division, which is not great. But I think the Reds and Cubs are going to be that much worse. So there's still things to look forward to.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to be selling off like the Reds and the Cubs, at least. But, guys, I will have an episode up later today previewing that series with Adam Bittner. It's been a while since we had Adam on after his trip to, I believe, South Africa. But with that said, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Sorry. To this episode. And I will catch you guys on the flip side later, but make sure you check out Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan. And guys, that's Gary. Well, that's Gary over there somewhere. And I'm Ethan Smith, your host who does the most, and I will see you on the flip side.